You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, family, we're getting to our first conversation of the day, and we're going to be speaking with Dr. Irene Chimoga. She's speaking to us about overcoming workplace discrimination. All right. Now, from unequal pay to overlooked promotions, many women silently battle injustice in the workplace. The fight for fair treatment often comes with personal and spiritual cost. And this session is going to empower women to navigate professional spaces with resilience, dignity, and faith, knowing that their worth is not determined by a title, but by God's call on their lives. All right. Dr. Irene, good morning. Welcome back to the program. Dr. Irene, can you hear me? All right, we have a problem with the sound there. Let's try that again. As usual, family, you're invited to contribute to this conversation by just texting us your thoughts and your ideas on +27734703520. Once again, that number is +27734703520. We're going to be trying to connect with Dr. Irene one more time and trust that hopefully this time we'll be able to get through and have this conversation. Have you experienced workplace discrimination? Have you experienced discrimination maybe even not necessarily in the workplace, but maybe at school or maybe elsewhere in the social setting? Let me know on that same number. Dr. Irene, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly now. Thank you so much for making time to join us. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. So let's get straight into the subject. We're talking about workplace discrimination, how we can overcome that, especially for us as women who experience so many different things like unequal pay, overlooked promotion, stuff like that. What are some of the subtle and obvious forms of workplace discrimination that you can think of that women face?
Right from the top of my head, some of the forms of subtle discrimination I can think of is being assigned the internet is bad. Are you there?
We can hear you clearly. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. For example, being assigned the low value tasks, okay, or even just the, you know, being given a position as a token, like for the sake of it, let's put a woman among five men so the company can maybe appear civil. You know what I tell you, I'm in an association and a cooperative, a very big association, a very big cooperative, and I'm in the executive. Mm-hmm. Both of them have been appointed as a secretary. Well, to make the term look like it's fast, they say secretary general. But all I do is take minutes, you know. That's like being given, you know, a subtle form of discrimination. Because why can't a man be a secretary and take minutes? So it's just like a token to say, okay, in a world where they say be gender diversity, you know, and this is what we try to do. And also just being stereotyped. Because women are emotional, therefore we can't give them, you know, such jobs because they have all that. They have moods, you know. These are just stereotyping women, you know. Yeah. So others will say like this is a very busy position. Women will disadvantage the organization because of maternity leave, antenatal health care days, and so forth. Which is just a silent way of discriminating women. Yeah, then there are obvious forms, which are forms which are documented. For example, we still have issues of an equal pay for an equal work. All right, for equal work, you find that you're doing the same job, but somewhere there's a small allowance, like which is different from what a man can get. Okay. Sometimes women are denied the promotions despite their merit. Okay, and also a form of sexual harassment is still there in the workplace. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what is a woman? Their comments and all those about women. So these are some of the obvious ones. Yes.
Sure. And it's so unfortunate that this is still a thing, even in 2025. I would expect that maybe earlier days when women first started entering that workforce maybe because people were not used to that. And it's not excusable, but it would be more understandable. But so many years down the line, we're still talking about this. Like, when is this conversation going to be over? When will this be past tense? When will we finally just be able to work like normal people and not have to think about all these
things. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's still happening, yes. And I wish the men folk, we could have so many workshops, conferences where this is talked about. But again, it's something that's talked about, but can we practice it? That's what now we need to really be strong about it as women, so that maybe we can be fairly treated at some point.
I wonder,
because the women, I really believe they are the ones who can change this narrative. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's an issue with workplace discrimination specifically, or if it's an issue of just not respecting women in general, not just specifically in the workplace, but just in society in general. Do you think?
Yeah, probably that could be the way to think about it, because, you know, our background, women have always had their own place, where a man is at the top, he sits at the table, he eats the best food. Mm-hmm. And so you as a woman, you have to provide all that, is your job. So unfortunately, we move with that. Even when we are educated, we have high, we have positions that, you know, are high, we still think, this is a man, you know, let's respect them, let's honor them. So once we cut that out, like I'm saying, it's a stereotype type of thinking, it's a myth to just think that a woman cannot take a man's position, especially leadership and all that. Yes.
Sure. All right. Now, how can women confront injustice while maintaining their integrity and witness?
Women should not really put themselves where they've been put unfairly. Maybe we need to start speaking the truth with grace and boldness. We talk about respect. Yes, it's good to respect everybody, whether it's a man or a woman. We respect them. But can we speak about it if something is not okay? We need to reach out where, what is the next person or the next position that I can talk to this about? You know, I'm fairly unfairly discriminated. You know, there's this position that has come. We applied, both of us, maybe it's within one organization and there's a promotional space that has come, or maybe one leader retired and they need to replace that person, and the woman and the man are there. You just speak out. You know what? This job, I really believe that I know I have the skill, I have the education for it, why I have applied for it. And, you know, I'm yet to see what's going to happen. We just speak out boldly about it. Mm-hmm. And also, we can respond, but we shouldn't be reacting. Because, again, as a woman, that's why they say women are too emotional. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, if this happens, maybe I'm not given that position, which maybe as a woman you're expecting to get, mm-hmm. then you react. You react, you sit bad. So this also put yourself like to be vulnerable as a woman. So sometimes better to respond to situations as they come. So you avoid bitterness in the privacy, for example, because if that's a thing like that where you are discriminated, for example, for a position that you really believe you are qualified for it, then you go in the back and start telling everyone, oh no, they left, you start gossiping about it. No one will hear. Mm-hmm. Maybe document something, write something, and, you know, so that you can heard as the a person or as a woman, but you maintain your integrity without really showing that, you know, your bitterness has caused you to reduce your who you are. Those are some things you can do. Yes, and you just seek wise counsel. What do I do, you know, about this?
Yeah.
And something can be done, really.
Sure.
Okay. No. Women should not believe or tell themselves that I can't do this. Okay, I one time I was in a workshop on a Women's Day. So there was a discussion that was centered on why women are considered vulnerable. And bluntly, one lady said, she raised her hand and said, no, because of our monthly cycle, we become moody and can't lead in meetings.
Oh,
I was like, girl, wow. You don't say such things.
Wow.
He said, that's a no.
Yeah.
You know, those are just stereotypes, organization, you know, and beliefs. Do not generalize. Okay, so I spoke out that it didn't sit well with me. So sometimes the woman themselves, they think, no, I'm not there yet. But who is going to put you there? Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes we do become our own worst enemies, eh? Now, yeah. What biblical examples can show us women taking a stand in difficult environments? And I like this question because I like looking back at what it was like in the Bible days, because we see that time, even though it's written over 1,000 years, but we see people in the Bible days as being a very patriarchal society. But what examples can we see in the Bible showing women taking that stand?
Right off my head, I can think of Esther, who took a risk to save her people using wisdom and timings. Mm-hmm. I think of Deborah. Deborah will speak a little more because that's my girl in the Bible. Mm. Then there's a Samaritan woman who boldly shared her testimony despite the, you know, the societal shame. There's also Lydia, the businesswoman who used her influence to support the early church. The woman without a name, if you remember, the one with the flow of blood and so forth, she was bold. She touched the hem of Jesus at the time Jesus was so busy. And everyone was looking, why is she doing this? Then I said I was going to talk about Deborah more, because Deborah, she led and faced discrimination in the workplace in Judges 4, verse 5. Her leadership, okay, is not gender limited. Deborah led the Israelites at the time when female leadership was unheard of. Okay, she had that confidence. Mm. She didn't hesitate to act because she knew authority came from God, not human approval. She had a lot of courage. She boldly delivered God's word and made tough decisions. Mm. She collaborated over competition. Remember, if you remember the story of Deborah, she worked alongside Barak and celebrated the victory with a woman, Jael. You know, showing that leadership is not about domination, but about teamwork and shared success. Yeah. You know, and that's what Deborah did. Yes, after the victory, Deborah sang a song of praise and celebrated with God. You know, those are some things that, you know, the women in the Bible, they were there. They exhibited leadership skills despite the tough times that they lived in, where, I mean, in the Bible, it was men everywhere. But here are these women that excelled through. These women remind us that God works through courageous and faithful women, even in unjust or oppressive systems. I mean, we can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
As women today. Yes, yes, yes.
Beautiful. And now when we look at our churches, our Christian communities, is there a way that they can better support working women, career women, the ambitious women?
Yes, they can, but we also need to make sure that the men folk understand, maybe let me say, the space of where women are. Mm-hmm. Whether it's in the community, it's in the workplace, and everywhere else. Because like I said, we are still mixed up as women. You know, we have that tradition, that background that tells us, no, as a woman, your place is on the lower bench. The man is on the upper bench. So if we can provide mentorship and leadership training for women, what can we do better? Mm-hmm. What can we do right? Also, sermons should not be stereotyped on women. We had a discussion where I was saying sometimes preachers, when they are preaching about dressing, they're preaching about modesty. Most of the examples are drawn from how a woman dresses. Oh, you're wearing a short dress. Oh, your hair is looking like that and so forth. There's no main example like for a man that comes. So those type of things need to be talked about. Okay. Also, we just offer networking and support for professional women. You know, maybe when there are community meetings, community conferences, just to support women. Women should be involved in all such. Yes, of course, we are Christians. We always say we need to pray for women who are facing workplace challenges. We also need to just provide a safe space for ourselves. Okay, because I mean, if no one stands for us, we are the ones that should really stand for ourselves. Yeah. So as Christian communities, we better support working women. Okay, even in the churches, in the communities, if we have a Bible study, can a woman lead for once? At the main platform, like on the main pulpit, they should not wait until it's a Bible study time in the afternoon or evening. That's when a woman is giving a space to speak. No. So communities need to support that, and so that, you know, we move forth and move forward to remove this gender discriminatory, ideas. Mm-hmm, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Right. And when we're looking at ourselves as working women, how does one remain hopeful and spiritually grounded in a toxic work culture or an unfair work culture? Is it possible to still remain grounded spiritually?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry about
the Bible.
I'm sorry about that.
The Bible, the Bible scripture in Galatians 3, verse 28 says, remember your identity in Christ, not in your job title. Mm. So that's integrity. Mm. All right? There should be answers. This should be answers to help women remain grounded. Mm-hmm. Of course, God is the source of everyone's strength. Mm-hmm. Therefore, women should cultivate a daily, maybe just daily prayer and put themselves where they should be. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we need to... Yeah,
I hear you.
Those are some of them. Yeah.
There's one thing I always think about that often comes up when we're talking about this whole subject of, you know, empowering women and helping especially young women to know who they are and just being comfortable with that, being comfortable with being ambitious and having goals and things like that. A lot of times I hear men saying that there's so many programs for women. Why is it always about women? There's nothing for men. And, you know, and the argument is just either have more things also for the men or just stop talking about it altogether. There's no problem anymore. You know? It's 2025. No one cares anymore.
Yeah.
That you're a woman. Just do what you want, you know? What do you think about that?
And the reason why we have so many programs for women is because women still have issues. And one of them is the same one we're talking about of gender discrimination. I mean, who stops men from having their own meetings, their own conferences? The good thing women, you know, women are united. Women can collaborate. They can partner up, you know. That's advantage women have. They have a lot to talk about. Maybe the only thing we need to do now is make sure whatever centers, whatever workshops we are in, let's talk about lifting women and put them in a gender space that is where they are supposed to be and look at themselves as women that are equal, have been put equal in the eyes of God. You know, women are navigating workplace discrimination are not alone. There are so many, and that's why we have all these meetings. We have Women's Day, we have Mother's Day, we have so many of them. Yes, where we can have daughter, mother going out, young women and the older women going out and talk about all those things. Those are all opportunities that women have, which men probably don't think about. Yes.
Yeah.
So men should not be bitter, but try to emulate what women do so that they can also teach men to love men and respect, to love women and respect them, even in communities and in workplaces, and see them being created equal.
Mm,
yes.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Irene, for coming through once again and sharing your insights. Another very important conversation. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share?
Yeah, all I can say as we move out is that the value and calling of women comes from God, not from human systems. Okay, therefore, let's put ourselves where we should be by speaking out, by learning more, by partnering, and by being mentored with the right people. And we request that can men also accept that and accept who a woman is. Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Irene. I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thank you. Have a good day. Thank you, listeners. Bye.
Thank you so much.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.